We're grateful to be back this afternoon and thankful to have each of you here with us. We had a good time on this morning, a great congregational meeting, and certainly I left uplifted, encouraged, and hopefully you did too, amen. Good to see those who are back with us this afternoon, and certainly commendable to those who are faithful to the Lord in your lives. That's important, amen.
Amen.
God visited. We thank you for being here with us. You're a very honored guest tonight, this afternoon rather, for this service. I do want to talk about tonight some sensitive subject, but very relevant in today's society and the things that we are seeing going on. As you all are very aware of the deaths of Katie Spade, Anthony Bourdain, these two recent ones, Robin Williams was another one that comes to mind of someone you never thought would have took their lives. And so I want to talk to us as a family because we don't know who's going through what in here. We don't know who's having suicidal thoughts and things of that nature, so it's a very sensitive subject. Things like this happen, and we need to be raised the awareness of what to look for, how to help, and how to make them, help them not push them further into depression. Is suicide statistically is now the 10th leading cause of death in the U.S. and it's middle-aged adults especially. Suicide is increasing in every state, with Nevada being the highest suicide state since 99. 2016, almost 46,000 people died by suicide. And the numbers are staggering. It's increasing every year and getting worse and worse. There is a need for us to understand that from a biblical perspective as well. But if you're in this room and you're having suicidal thoughts, is there nothing wrong with you that you can't get help?
Amen.
In most cases, life can send us trauma, tragedies, difficult decisions, difficult circumstances. Life can send you into a valley that you didn't know was coming. If you think about Katie Spade, very well-known designer, had plenty of money, homes, cars, Robin Williams, had the ability to make other people laugh all over the world. Good morning, Vietnam. Millions would laugh, but when Robin go home, Robin was not laughing inside. Which tells me the outward appearance is not indicative of what you are feeling on the inside. This man had a dark, dismal life inwardly. It was not money. Money couldn't buy him happiness. Money didn't buy Kate happiness, did it? If money could have done it, they would have had it. Why did Michael Jackson have to get on Propofol to sleep? Is that how I pronounce it right? Yeah, close enough. Yeah, praise the mighty name of Jesus. Then Anthony Bourdain, I used to wonder, man, Anthony, he traveled all over the world, a great chef, you know, loving food. And you see him laughing with the cooks and chefs, and you see him sitting there, I was thinking, that man must have a stomach of iron. How could he go all these foreign countries and sit by campfires and eat all these foreign foods and not get sick? That's what I was wondering. Have you ever thought about Anthony Bourdain? Mm-hmm. I used to like to watch him on CNN. It's about the only thing I watched on CNN. But anyway. But Anthony, we couldn't look at him to know he was on alcohol, that his life was in a shamble. Because on the camera, when we seen him on CNN, it seemed like everything was good. Why would anybody expect Anthony Bourdain to tie a rope around his neck in a hotel room? Who would think Robin would have done that? Why would a mother take her life and leave her child a note to ask your daddy about it? I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what they said. You can't believe everything folks say, by the way. We don't know what's going on in people's lives, do we? What's my point tonight, family? We're family. And because we're family, we need to be better educated. I would suggest that we have a group here for that reason. How many of y'all think we should have that? I think it's time to do it, don't you? Don't you think it's time for us to know what to look for in our family, know how to help them, get the facilities that we can get them to, get them the help they need, because they are not doing it because they want to. They're doing it because they're hurting. That's what's going on. They're hurting. They're hurting inside. They're troubled. You say, brother, what do we do? First thing, perspective is everything. That's what we are, a spiritual institution here. We should protect our own. Make sure we know what to do. Make sure we can identify when we are the one plummeting. We don't know who's next in here. How many of you can really admit, you know, at times life goes so tough, you say, man, you know when people say things like, I'm just tired? You know what they're kind of saying? When they're that sick, you know, they're sick. You know what they're saying? I'm kind of ready to move on. So I think we should have a suicide prevention group here at Highland Heights. And all of the concerned people all to raise their hand and sign up to get on it so we can do the work necessary, so we can educate everyone, and we can help those who are in those distressed moments of their lives. Amen, Brother Brooks. Because when it's your child, you'd have wanted us to have some help. Amen. But it's our family. And no parent need to go through the loss of a loved one, or a daughter, or a child, or a son, when they could have got to them, but because they didn't know what to look for, because they weren't prepared, because we weren't educated. And I say, we need to be knowing what the signs are. So if it's one of our grown-up members, it's one of our senior members, it's one of our children, it's somebody in the family, it's somebody's loved one. Somebody love that person. Amen, Brother Brooks. Yes. So what is the problem? Well, we're studying life without God. What I said, meaningless life. Here's the problem from a biblical standpoint. It found in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and the verse number 1. The Bible talks about there. Solomon is the wisest man to ever live. You guys are getting ready to study that study now. And life without God is what you're studying. It's a meaningless life. Because when I get to the point of taking my life, I'm getting ready to end my life. I'm getting ready to put my soul in danger. I'm getting ready to put my soul in danger. The Bible said in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, wrote like this. He said this.
The words of the preacher,
the son of David,
king in Jerusalem,
vanity of vanities. Meaningless,
said the preacher. Vanity of vanity.
All is vanity. He's talking about life. Ecclesiastes, you read this with the end in mind. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, the Bible says there, Solomon says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. We are to fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing,
whether it be good or whether it be evil.
Conclusion? The conclusion Solomon is writing about, being the wise man, what Solomon does, he enters into life
life and then he looks at life from the perspective, nothing has any meaning. Why? The conclusion is this. You have to have God in your life for the life to have meaning. So the conclusion of the matter is you must fear God and keep his commandments, because life without God has no meaning. So he said, vanity in life really means nothing without God in his opening. Verse number two, he says this. He says,
What profit a man of all his labor,
would he take it under the sun? Read.
One generation passed away.
So one generation will pass.
And another generation is coming. But the earth abided forever.
The earth will still be here. My dad is gone. My mother is gone. His daddy, mama's gone, their mama's gone, their family gone. Generation kept coming. Guess what? I'm in the generation now that's getting ready to pass on. Then my children generation will pass. And the earth gonna still be here. Because if we didn't do something about our life with God, you're gonna pass. All of us are passing, y'all. Here's the thing: meaningful life means I pass with God in my life. Question is, did I fear God and keep his commandments or did I not? That has meaning. Read it.
The sun also arises.
Now, no matter how bad your day is, what God is saying, don't look here. You got to see life in a clear perspective. No matter how bad things are, he said the sun will still rise.
And the sun goes down.
The sun will still set.
And hasten to his place.
And it's
going to
go back to where it was. Nothing changed. In the cycle of life, life is a vicious cycle. You know, the waters in the rivers flow and they come back and they flow in a circuit. The winds blow in a circuit. The sun goes up and the sun comes down. The rain clouds come. The rain clouds go. It don't matter what's going on in your life. Everything continues. Amen. So, you know, you have no way of stopping the things that are going on in life. So if you stop your life, what you've done is stop your life. But in stopping your life, you affected all other people who love you. Everyone else is affected. Everybody. Because we still got to lay down tonight and get up in the morning. And life goes on for the rest of us. What is Solomon trying to get us to see here? He says what?
The wind going toward the south.
The wind going to blow that way.
And turn it about
on its
north. It's
going to turn about on its to the circuits. Read.
It whirled about continually, and the wind returned again according to his circuits.
Yeah, read.
All the rivers run into the sea.
Yeah, rivers are running. Winds are blowing. Sea is filling up.
Yet the sea is not full.
But it ain't going to ever fill up. Read on.
Until the place from whence the rivers come, till they return again.
Yes.
All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it.
Yeah.
The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing.
He said, so when man is chasing stuff in life, he's never going to get there. That's why it didn't work for Robin then. No matter how much stuff you accumulate in this life, how good a job you got, how big a home you have, how much money you have in your life, if you're living that life without God, guess what you have? A life with no meaning. And then he talks about in verse 13, the travail going to come. We mean the sword travail. He said, Solomon says this, the sword travail. He says this. So
and I gave my heart to seek and search out my wisdom concerning
look at
all
life,
things.
How he's going to look at life as a wise man. Read.
And I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done
so
under heaven.
He's getting ready to check this out. How is he going to live life to his fullest?
This sword travail had God given to the Son of Man
to be
exercised.
So he called life a painful experience. What he said is, y'all, that life is going to give you a painful experience. He said, this sort of veil have God handed to mankind. It's our lot, y'all. It ain't gonna change. It's the lot you've been given. It's the hand we've been dealt. It's called life. And God said, deal with it. Exercise life. This sort of veil has God given to the sons of men to be dealt with. Here's how God proposes us to deal with life. You deal with life with God. And when you deal with life with God, it don't matter how bad your situation is, you got God on your side. I hope I'm helping somebody tonight.
Amen.
Because really, it's a decision that I'm going to stay with the Lord. Because if you stay with the world, you can't make it. You can't make it, y'all. You can't make it. Conclusion is this. You got to fear God and do what? Keep commands. What's the significance of that? Go to verse 18 of chapter 1. I'm just rolling through this. This is something you all already studied in chapter 1. I'm going to try to do some of these excerpts from Ecclesiastes as y'all study the book, because it is really a study that you don't need to rush in. And I think with the curriculum, it's a little fast for me. And when I know that, what the substance of it, the meat of it, that's why I told Brother Stroud, I think I'm going to preach from some of this, because you know, this life without God study is one of the most powerful studies that put life in perspective for all of us, including me, including you. All of us got to have it. We need to know what to do. And here's what he said. Here's what Psalm said, verse number 17, 18. What do you got? 17. Get 17.
And I gave my heart to know wisdom.
Now here he is. He's the wisest man to ever live. This didn't make no sense to me. Here he said, I gave my heart to know wisdom. Read.
And to know madness and folly.
Now here's the wise man to live. I wanna know what it's like to be a madman. Then Solomon said, and folly, which is misguided behavior arising from stupidity. So here's Solomon saying, I want to be a stupid person for a little bit. What do you say? Why you want to be stupid? You know, here's the stupidity. Stupidity is trying life without God. He calls it the life of a fool. Listen to it.
I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit.
Yeah, read.
For in much wisdom is much grief.
Now, when he says vexation of spirit, understand this. What Solomon is saying is that when we choose to leave God out of the life decisions, which is the L-I-F-E, is life issues faces who? Everyone, L-I-F-E. So if life issues faces everyone, then no one should have an issue that God ain't in it. That God and God, let God deal with the issue. See, we go to God so we can help him with the outcome. But see, that's our problem. We're trying to use God to control the outcome of the situation rather than let God have the situation. For example, here's God. Consider God the helicopter or the parade of your life. He know the beginning. He know your end. He know what you're going through right now. No one else can do that for you. Amen, somebody. So Solomon's trying to, he says, so we're living life without God is a vexation of the spirit. We mean, it's like grabbing the wind. In some versions say grasping the wind. So it's like you're walking around in life trying to grab wind in your hand and you can't do it. It has no meaning. That's what he's saying. It has no meaning to live the life of the fool. The life of the fool is the life without God. That's what he's saying. And then in chapter 2, verse 11, he said the pleasures of life. Listen, in chapter 2, verse 11, I think that's where y'all should be in your studies. In chapter 2, verse 11 says what?
Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought.
He said, I'm looking at everything I get in this life. Here we go.
And unto the labor that I had labored to do.
Read.
And behold, all was vanity.
Nothing. See, you can go and get big houses, better jobs, more money, and all this stuff. Look at everything you can have in this life. When God says, look here, what you need to be content with is raiment and food. But then the food chases for all this other stuff. And when they can't get all this other stuff, they fall apart. Because that stuff has no meaning. That stuff can come, that stuff can go. That stuff is nothing but wind. You're trying to chase something that you can't grab. It has no meaning. That's why Robin killed herself. That's why Katie, that stuff had no meaning. So you say, okay, Brother Brick, so what are you trying to say? The only thing you look at, if you and y'all get to this part, chapter 3, it'll be you on a time clock. God gave you time of living this life from the birth to the death, 60 at 60 plus 10. Anthony Bourdain was 61. He made 60 and took his life at 61. But we're not guaranteed to go past 80. We're not guaranteed to live no long time, y'all. So he's saying, look here, you better let God in this little time you got in this life. If you bring God into the picture, problems go away. Comfort come. Here's the last part. In chapter 4, verse 1, he said, and then Solomon says, so I returned. What is he saying? Solomon said, I went out there and I tried to live like a fool, and then I came back to my senses, so I returned. Look what he says.
So I returned and considered all the oppression.
I pleasure didn't do it. The stuff I worked for didn't do it.
I tried
this life, and he said, I returned.
And behold, the tears of such and as
he said,
were
oppressed. Look at them.
And they had no comforter.
Look at them. He said, look at them. They're crying. All the folk out there crying. See them? They crying. Why they crying? The tears of such people. For they had what?
No comforter.
They did not have a comforter. He said, brother, I feel like I'm falling apart. You got to have the comforter. Mm. That's what you got to have. That's what we keep. So God, Jesus was the comforter. He said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to give you a comforter. That is the Holy Spirit. So if we stay connected with God and we stay connected with the Holy Spirit, we have an inward comforter. That's the benefit of being a child of God. That's why we need people to be faithful. And we also need to help people be faithful so we can, that is got to be in the biblical suicidal prevention book. Helping members to stay connected to God. We have loners in the church. Loners. They do nothing but lonely. Lonely. They walk in here by themselves. They leave by themselves. They're not connected to no families. They're not connected. They're not active. They're not benefiting from the spiritual family. And we need to change it. We need to connect people. We need to look at that. Amen. Church of Christ. Is it quiet because it's hot or y'all just for the subject matter? Y'all just listening? Huh? Is it heat? Oh, it's deep. Drew said deep. Man, it's a serious subject though, isn't it? So, okay, the last part. So what I say? We got to have who in our life? Number one, spiritual suicide prevention. You got to have God. You got to look at life with God in God's eyes. He didn't give us a life that wasn't going to have problems. He said I was going to do it to you. I'm going to hand you the travail. So we got to have, we're going to get the phone call that mama died. You're going to get it. It's coming. Get ready. It's coming. You could lose your job and lose everything you got. That could happen. Amen, somebody. You could be high one moment and down the next one. That's life. That's life. You can start a business and it fails. You go bankrupt. That's life. That's a travail. That's you can expect it. Amen. You can be off drugs today and you think you got it kicked. The next thing you know, you're down again. You can expect things like that in this life. You can expect things like that. You can expect to have marital problems in this life. You can expect possibly to go to divorce court. That's why Katie, they say, kill herself because her husband left her. But ain't no man worth that. Amen, somebody. And ain't no woman worth that. Praise the mighty name of, yeah, Jesus. I love my wife, but I ain't trying to kill myself over her. But I've had some tough days, man. When your bank account go from this to this, I'll share a personal one with you. I was doing pretty good on paper money with me, stocks and stuff like that. And I made one stock move, lost a bunch of money. On paper, you know, folks really go, how much? Ain't your business. But I fell apart. I'll just be honest with you. I was a Christian. Can I be honest? Y'all ain't hold against me, are you? I fell apart. You know, I was crying and everything. I was, oh, Lord, I'm going to retire me. Sharon, what we going to do? I wanted to preach full time. I ain't going to be able to preach. I got to work till I'm 70. See, I retired at the age of 40, but I fell apart at 38 because I was 2 years away from my retirement. I made a stock move and lost all of it. And I told my wife, I think this is in my book. Is it in my book, Lou? I told my wife, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle this. I'm going into depression, y'all. You understand what I'm saying? I'm going in this depression. I'm panicking. I'm wondering why I did it. What a terrible decision it was. You can't undo it. What am I going to do? How am I going to send my kids to school? All the things I had planned just went out the window. And so I told her, hey, let's go to Oklahoma. We was in Fort Smith, Arkansas. I'm trying to drive away the pain. Go somewhere, do something so I don't have to think about this. On the way there, I had a parallel Bible. I went to the Book of Wisdom, get some wisdom on what I should do. And I started reading Ecclesiastes. And I read it all the way down to Oklahoma. And I told Sharon, I need you to hear something on the way back to Fort Smith. And I read it to her in the car on the way back to Fort Smith, which was a Saturday. And I preached Life Without God, chapter 1, Sunday morning. Because my perspective came in. Tommy, that stuff don't mean nothing. You a fool. Well, I got from the wisest man ever lived. I said, look at this. I ain't going to act no fool if God be for me. And guess what God did after a few months? I got all I lost back and more. Thank you.
Amen.
And I retired at 40, and I'm preaching still. Praise the mighty name. Oh, he up there boasting. Now, I'm trying to tell you something that I done went through. I done had it. I know it happens. It can happen to any of us. But perspective is everything. And I didn't have the right perspective. So I'm trying to help some of y'all, saying that you don't have to do that. Get the perspective right. Get God in your life. Hold on to him, because none of that other stuff means nothing. It is what? Meaningless. The only thing that matters is that I fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. And you know what? Life gonna continue to throw us tragedies and traumas and curveballs. But at the end of the day, when we live the Christian life, joy comes in the morning. Amen. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes when? In the morning. You know, all we got to do is hang on to God's unchanging hand. It doesn't matter what life throws at us, we're going to be all right, because we serve an all right God. We serve a mighty God. We serve a good God. And God is our comforter. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the Bible says he's the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all of our tribulation, wherewith we may be able to comfort others. So God gives us pain so he can bring us comfort. And when he brings us comfort, we can comfort someone else. That's why the family of God need to be aware of what the look is like. What are suicidal signs? I hope you'll come to me at the door if you want to be on this task force that I'm going to put together. It's going to be a task force for suicide awareness, suicide prevention in the Church of Christ at Holland Heights. If you want to be on that, you can see me. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, I want you to be a Christian. That's the beginning of having life with God, is that you have to believe his son hung, bled, and died and suffered for you on the cross. They hung him up there 6 hours. They hung him and crucified him, but he was dying so you could bring the comforter in your life. And the way he brings it in, when you hear that gospel, had good news, how he died, was buried, and rose again, believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sins, confess Jesus to be the Son of God, then be baptized for the remission of your sins. The Lord would add you to the true church, the Church of Christ. And that's the only one in the Bible. And when you're in it, you stay in it. You hold on to God. You do his command. Remember, the conclusion to the matter of your life is this question. Did you fear God and keep his commandments, or did you not? And you're here tonight, and you need to come. Why don't you be washed in the blood of the Lamb tonight? Start your night. Because once you get baptized, you receive the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the comforter, John chapter 14. He's the comforter, and that comforter can give you comfort when everybody else is against you. That's why Solomon says, so I return, and the tears of such as were oppressed, they had no comforter. And on the side of the oppressor was power. Satan would take you down. God would give you comfort. Which one you want? You ought to have life with who? God. So your life have meaning. Amen. If you're here today and you need to come, remember church, no matter what you're going through, you don't have to tell us everything you're going through. But the eyes of the Lord are over who? Righteous. The ears are open. Let us pray with you. Let us pray for you. Because life can do it to anybody. It's you now. It could be me tomorrow. We don't know who gonna go through what next. But we are in this house together as a family. And I want you to come as together we stand and sing the song of encouragement. Hope you enjoy the lesson.